Well, we're back again to continue this fascinating study of angels. I'm enjoying this. I hope you are too. And keep staying tuned in because I have a lot more to tell you about angels. And so let's talk today about, do angels have personalities? Okay. So we've already talked about what angels are made of and how they visit us and the various forms they take. How many angels are there, what angels are, what angels are not. So let's kind of get a little bit more personal with angels today. Let's talk about angels having personalities. Well, the Bible describes, first of all, that there's different types of angels. So we wouldn't assume that every angel was exactly alike. They're not cookie cutter. Some pictures you see, they all look the same, but that's not what angels look like at all. They're like us. Each one is unique. The Bible does have classifications of angels. So the Bible talks about archangels. Now, what an archangel is a leader. He's a person who's over other angels. So if you're an archangel, it's kind of that word overarching is a good way of thinking about that. But it just basically means that you have angels under your command. So you are a leader. The Bible also talks about, you know, certain angels that are archangels. Gabriel, we know, is an archangel. Michael is an archangel. Now, if you read the books of the Apocrypha, which are the lost books of the Bible, they mention several other angels that the Catholic Church talks about a lot, like Raphael and different ones, Ariel and Raphael, which were also angels that interacted with some of the people that wrote the lost books of the Bible. But the ones that the Bible mentions that we are going to talk about is just Gabriel and Michael. Now, the Bible also mentions another classification of angels called a cherub. Now, if you see cherubim, that beam, cherubim, means more than one. So that's just a plural form. Like when you see the Holy Trinity described, it's Elohim, which is talking about the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Godhead. So cherub is one, cherubim is more than one, seraph is one. Seraphim is more than one seraph. So that's just the plural sense of that. So a cherub basically is a generic term for various types of angels. Now in the Bible, and we'll get to these later, we're going to actually, before this study is over, talk about different angels in the Bible. And you're going to see that a lot of them are called cherubs. Now cherubs aren't little Valentine babies with hearts and bows and arrows, you know, that have little wings and diapers on. I don't know who came up with that idea, but that's not a cherub. The Bible has no description of a cherub looking like that. Some artist put that in some painting and people adopted that as an idea, but it's not biblical at all. But a cherub basically is a classification of any kind of angel. So you're going to see an angel in the Bible that has a rainbow around its head, and he's a cherub. You're going to see another angel that has one foot in the sea and one foot on the earth, and he's huge. He's enormous, and that's also an angel. But you're going to also see angels that ride horses and angels that drive chariots. And so you're going to see those, and those are basically human size, or at least that's the appearance they're taking at the time. All of these are cherubs. So cherub is just a generic term, not a particular type of angel, that describes an angel in the general sense of the word. Now, a seraph is different. A seraph is called the burning one. So the seraph is described only in four places in the Bible. And in those four places, they have four faces, the face of a lion, the face of a man, the face of a flying eagle, and the face of an ox. Now, we're going to spend one whole lesson talking about just the seraph and what they do in heaven. So we'll talk about the ministry of the seraphim in another lesson. So we won't get into that. But the seraph have burning skin. They have molted type skin that looks like a burning bronze or a kind of a fluid, kind of melted bronze with lightning in it. So that's a whole different kind of angel, and they have a purpose, and there's a reason they look that way, because the job they have in heaven requires them to set things on fire. And so that's another lesson, so stay tuned. We'll talk about the ministry of seraphim at another time. But angels do possess different personalities. I don't think there's probably any two alike. I don't see any twin angels in the Bible or triplet angels. So, and even twins and triplets are different. But I think every angel is different. You have angels, for instance, the angel Gabriel that came to Daniel that was telling him the future. And then he had to go back and fight a battle because he's an archangel. He had an army up there fighting with him. You have Michael, the archangel, who's the defender of Israel. He's a protective angel. But then you also have an angel that was assigned to the children of Israel to go before them as a guide. The angel of the Lord went before them to, you know, scatter their enemies and bring them into places of safety. So the whole time the children of Israel were in the wilderness, there was an angel assigned to go before them and lead the way. Moses, I'm sure, interacted with this angel regularly. When Hagar had Ishmael, the son of Abraham, she was put out of the camp and an angel appeared to her. And this angel basically, you know, showed her where to find water and gave her comfort and spoke comforting words and prophesied over her and her son and gave her comfort. So, you know, when Jesus was in the wilderness, the Bible says in Matthew 4 and 11 that the angels came and ministered to him at the end of his fast. So if you remember that whole story, Jesus is on a 40-day fast. At the end of the fast, Satan comes and tempts him. Three different temptations, and then Christ overcomes the temptations with the word. And then the Bible says the angels came. Now, this is the end of his fast and ministered to him. Now, what's interesting about the word minister, now the word angels there is agalia, which is the Greek word for ambassador, one that was sent. But the interesting thing about the word minister, it's the word deacon. They came and deaconed him. Well, what does deacon mean? It means a table waiter. It's somebody who waits on tables, like the waiter in the restaurant. So what appears is that at the end of Jesus' fast, these angels came down and cooked a meal and waited on the table. So these angels were chefs. That's not the first time we've seen that. We saw that with Elijah the prophet. We've seen that with where he got up and he said, eat and drink because you got to walk in this strength. And the angel cooked a meal for him and prepared it. And so, you know, you these angels that ministered to Jesus were waiters and cooks because they are using the word deacon as the way they ministered to him. So that's interesting to me. Sometimes angels carry people when they're weak. The Bible says in Psalm 91, we kind of call that the protection psalm. He gives his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways, and in their hands they shall bear you up. So it's talking about being carried by them so that you won't dash your foot against a stone. So it's saying that there are times that you're so weak and you don't know how you're going to keep going, but it's because you've got your arms around a couple of angels that you can't see, or they're carrying you through difficult times in your life. One of the ways that angels minister to us is through worship. So the Bible is filled with worship scenes of angels, from when the sons of God sang together and shouted for joy in the book of Job, when the foundations of the earth were laid at the very beginning of time, to all the way in the book of Revelation, where John sees the choir of 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. But over and over and over, you see angels engaged in worship, whether it's in heaven or on the earth. Even at the birth of Christ, a whole choir shows up and an army and says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So you have this heavenly host that shows up and makes this huge proclamation at the birth of Jesus Christ. And so angels are worshipers, and I believe that lots of angels attend church. Whether you see them or you don't see them, I think they're there to enhance worship. I think that worship is the closest thing on earth to the atmosphere of heaven. So I believe that when we worship, that we call in angels. I think they hear the songs and it's like, oh, that sounds like home to me. So they come in and listen to our singing and camp around about us. The Bible even says there's camping angels. The angels of the Lord encamp round about those who fear him and delivers them. So they're just camping and they're waiting on trouble. And when trouble comes, they deliver us out of trouble. That's their whole assignment. So they're probably in your front yard right now, or maybe in your backyard, whichever one they want to camp in. Angels don't know everything. They're not omniscient like God is. They're created beings. And they are also curious beings. The book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and 12 says that, he says that God has revealed things to his prophets that that angels, and to his ministers, that angels desire to look into. You know, that we used to talk about singing the songs the angels cannot sing. And the song they're referring to was, I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus, because angels cannot say that. So angels desire to look into the whole mystery of why God would choose these frail humans and send his son to die for them. And so angels are curious beings, and many times I'm sure that they can't wait to see what happens next, just like you, because then that gives them their next assignment. You know, something else we know about angels is that they fly. We know they can fly from heaven to earth, but also they can fly on the earth. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 21, the angel Gabriel came to Daniel, and the Bible says that God told him to fly swiftly. So he flew swiftly to come to Daniel from a battle. Psalm 18, another great psalm, says that he rode upon a cherub and flew. So, and he flew upon the wings of the wind. So it's talking about an angel flying. And Lester was talking about God riding on the angels. So my guess is that's a chariot that God is in, and there's angels pulling the chariots. And, you know, the Bible talks about flying horses in heaven. And so I don't know if those horses are angels or not. They could be. I don't know if they have wings or not. But what I do know is that horses do fly. The Messiah is coming back on one at the second coming on a white horse. So we know that. Another thing we know about angels is that angels never die. So the Bible says that in Luke chapter 20, verse 36, nor can they die anymore, talking about resurrected people, for they are equal to the angels, they are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. So once you're resurrected, you never die again, just like angels never die. So let me close with another angel story. So this angel story comes from the ministry of T.L. Lowry. And Dr. Lowry was a great faith healer and miracle worker. And he tells a story about ministering in a church one time. And there was a man sitting on the back row that was angry. He didn't want his wife to be there. And she was up in the altar praying. This man was angry and sitting back there. But all of a sudden, he came to the altar and poured his heart out and gave his heart to the Lord. And they were all amazed, but also confused, because this man hated the church and hated Dr. Lowry and hated the ministry. And they wondered why he just came so freely and poured his heart out. And he said, it wasn't you, it was those two men that stood beside of you. And he said, I don't understand what you're talking about. He said, when you got up to preach tonight, there was two men, both of them in white suits, who stood on each side. And when the crowd would get kind of quiet, one of the men would reach over and whisper something in your ear, and then you would say it, and the crowd would glorify God and praise God. And then the other one would do the same thing. The crowd would get quiet, and the angel, as he believed it was then and does now, would whisper something in his ear, and he would say it, and they would begin to glorify God. And he said, I noticed that when you went to pray for people, I've been sitting back here skeptical of these miracles you claim. But he said, what I noticed is that every time you prayed for somebody, one of those men would lay their hand on top of your hand, that they stood by you the whole time. And it wasn't just you praying for people. Those men were laying their hands on top of the heads of the people as well. And that man was convinced that he had watched two angels enhancing a worship service. And it convinced him that heaven was real, God was real, supernatural was real. and he gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ. And I believe the rest of the story is that he actually became a minister later. So that one incident changed his life. So be kind to everybody, because you don't know when you're entertaining an angel unaware. Well, I'm enjoying this series, and I hope you are too. We'll be back again to talk more about angels. God bless.